Or that, here's Down on the Farm with Lynn Weber. This week she is chatting with Jocelyn Buggy and Scott Wright of Sunnydale Farm in Wapoose.
Welcome to Down on the Farm. I'm Lynn Weber, and I grew up on a mixed farm where we raised poultry and livestock, grew vegetables and fruit, and harvested our grain crops. I've always felt sad to see those kinds of farms disappear. So imagine how pleased I am to find out about Sunnydale Farms here in Wapoose. Today I'm sitting down with the owners, Jocelyn Buggy and Scott Wright. Now, this farm has been in your family for a long time, Scott. How long and what was grown here back in the day?
Our family's been on this section of land probably since about the 1830s, and it was mainly horses and apples all the way through, and we were one of the larger apple orchards in the area about 100 years ago. As time went on, the apples went out and cows took over more, and the horses faded away, and then we're milking cattle all while I was growing up. Dad sold them out about 1990, and then we've just been calf cropping ever since, and a bit of beef, and playing around with trying out different things.
Tell me about these Percheron horses.
My great-grandfather, he was a breeder, Percheron breeder, and he did half show horses for the Dawes Black Horse Brewery. And they spent a lot of time at the Royal Winter Fair in Toronto in the 30s and 30s and 40s.
And then they grew vegetables for the Wapoose Canning Company, too.
Tomatoes and wax beans. We grew for them up until they closed, and I think it was 83 when they closed.
Well, that was the thing with the dairy, too. When you were growing up, there were about 14 dairy herds just in North Marysburg, and now there's just two.
What kind of soil is it here on this farm?
Pretty well all blue clay. Very heavy for how bad this county can be when it gets dry in the summertime. We'll hold in a little better than some of the other areas. Well, we're lucky mm-hmm. that way.
Jocelyn, I'm taking from your blog, which is Sunnydale Ramblings, Storyyard Musings from a Farmer's Wife, which is just excellent. I love it. Farming was not in your background.
No, not at all.
Okay, so how did you end up here on Sunnydale with Scott?
I grew up an Air Force brat. My dad was in the military our whole lives. My brother's still in the military, stationed in Trenton with the Search and Rescue Squadron. And I ended up in Alberta after doing my first degree here in Ontario. And I worked for the Glenora Fish Station, and I worked for PERCA. And then the environment jobs just kind of dried up. So I went out west to Alberta to go to teacher's college, and ended up with horses and the whole bit. And when it was time to come home, I wasn't leaving them behind. So I loaded up the horse trailer and drove across Canada and camped along the way and stayed at Bed and Bales, they were called, so I could unload the horses at night and they could have their hay, and then we'd pack up and come the rest of the way. And when I got here, I had a good friend from high school that was willing to keep my horses for me. But unfortunately, it was one of the driest summers that the county had had in a while. The hay was scarce, really, really scarce. And so we were sitting around the table one night. I said, well, I bet you Scott Wright still has hay. They quit milking in the early 90s, but I'm pretty sure the barn's still full. And it's a good barn, so I'm sure the hay would be dry. So needless to say, I found myself down here asking him if the hay was still good and could I feed it. And sure enough, it was fine. And so I would come down every week and fill my truck up with a load of hay and go back and feed the horses. And as the story goes, eventually I just figured out that it was cheaper to move in than it was to buy the hay, and that's how I ended up here. So
she was lured here by your hay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and now you have a daughter?
Yes, now we have Marley, and she'll be 6 this summer.
And she's got an interest in your poultry.
Yes, she was our main driving force in getting our chickens the first go-round. We got her a dozen little bantams, heritage breeds, mixed assortment, and they sort of thrived, and she liked going to the coop and feeding them their grain and collecting the eggs, and she'll sit out on the lawn with her books and read to them. And
well, she's a lucky kid, because it's wonderful to grow up on a farm.
Yeah, it's something I'm glad that she can experience and grow up the way her daddy did, and it's something
sure.
Never had, but was always an animal lover. But, being in the military, moving every 3 years, my goldfish got flushed and away
you
went.
So. I suppose. Yeah. You're still growing conventional grain crops, wheat and oats and soybeans and field corn. But what led you to branch out into sunflowers?
We've grown them before, maybe 10 years ago. We tried them out then, and they worked out fine, but I wouldn't say there was as much money in them as the other. This year, we spent some money and put in a seed cleaning system out in our garage, mm-hmm. or upgraded what I had, quite considerably. So it was looked at as if we could grow them, at least we could get a bit better dollar for them off them as a clean product and sell them off the farm here and hopefully make it just help offset the cost of the cleaner was the main goal.
Able to clean and package them right here on the farm.
They've worked out pretty good. Everything's been good with them so far, and we're planning on putting about the same amount in. We had about 15 acres last year, and the tourists like it.
Yeah, they're pretty to drive by, and we get lots of people stopping to take pictures. And another driving force was hard corn has gotten quite expensive to grow, considering the other input costs. So we're looking at trying, diversify a bit and have something else in the crop rotation. Sunflowers were sort of a good option.
What kind are they? Are they the black kind or those big stripy kind?
They're the black oil sunflower seeds, okay. And they're actually a variety called New Sun, which has a higher linoleic acid component to it, so it's very good for actually the birds and for oil pressing. So if you wanted to get into sunflower oil, which may or may not happen here, we'll see.
How do you deal with the bird problem? Because I have grown sunflowers just in a row in my garden, and those birds...
Well, we found... The first couple of years we grew them, that if a field was under 5 acres, don't even bother putting them in it. Birds would just destroy it.
Yeah, before it's ripe enough to
Exactly. So we found basically if anything bigger than that, try and keep a 10 or 15 acre block of them. You lose a certain amount on the outside. The birds don't usually venture too far into the middle.
How do you actually harvest them? I mean, the stems are so tough. I'm wondering how you'd ever get them off.
They're planted with the corn planter and they're taken off with corn head on the combine. No, just slow down the fan in the combine, and they thrash quite easily, very, very easy to harvest.
Yeah, but this year was a bit of a challenge. It was just the way the weather was. We had planted them with the corn planter with the intention of taking them off with the corn head, and we tried, but the heads were dry, but the stalks were still too wet to be pulled through the head of the combine, so we had to switch to the grain head, which worked out fine. There's just a little bit more loss with it, but the birds were happy.
Yeah, but they were. Where do you sell it?
Currently, we've just been selling it here off the farm, because that was the intent this year, was instead of trucking it out and selling it to an elevator, Western Ontario or somewhere else, see if we could utilize the cleaner that we'd put in and bag it and sell it here. And that's been going fairly well. And by next week, actually, it's going to be carried in town at Picton Farm Supply on Talbot Street. With our labels and our bags, and so it'll get to stay local, too. So
the sunflower idea, was that before or after the popcorn idea?
We grew popcorn 2 years ago for the first time, and that was all Marley, again, sitting down with the seed catalogs out on the kitchen table, and she was looking at the pictures of the popcorn, like the back of our label says, Daddy, can we grow some popcorn? And that's the truth. And so we ordered a bag just to try, and anyway, it did really well, and it went really far, and we ended up with like a ton of popcorn our first year, and didn't know what we were going to do with a ton, so we were giving away to friends and packaging it up for Christmas gifts and that kind of stuff. And started to get the feedback from it that, no, it was good, and you should really do something with this. And so then we put in more last year in a couple of different varieties. But they kind of both came on the scene about the same time. With the cleaner, it helps, too, because the sunflowers and the popcorn, we've got to clean out, the insects and the chaff and the stems and the seeds that are too light and the misshapen stuff. So how can we make this big investment start to work for us?
What varieties do you grow?
Of the popcorn, this year we grew four. Two of them we were really happy with, and two of them we won't bother with again. We grew one called Robust, which we ordered from Stokes, and it's a hybrid, and it's a white butterfly, so it pops up in random big white butterfly type shapes, and it's the same stuff you would find in the movie theater or in a box of Orville, only it's grown here local and didn't have to get trucked all the way from the southern states. But and then we grew the Dakota Black, which is an open pollinated heritage variety, which is just beautiful in the jars. They look like a dark purpley blacky color, and they pop up in the butterfly shape as well, and crisp white, like white like a sheet of paper, but the hull stays black, so it looks really neat.
So it's a real contrast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's really dense and heavy. I call it the Guinness of popcorn, right? It's sort of a meal in itself, and it's...
It would really hold the butter in that butterfly shape.
It's good. And it's good just on its own, plain too. It kind of has a bit of it's got a stronger corn, nutty kind of taste, and it's good. And then we grew Pink Petal, just because we thought it would look pretty in the jar, and it did. It does. It looks pretty in the jar, but it's just kind of there. It's kind of a blah popcorn and not really worth it. We want stuff that we want to eat. We want to sell. So the pink, we were like, Hit or miss. You know, I would take it or leave it. And then we grew caramel crisp, and it was more just because it pops up into the other shape that you can get popcorn, which is mushroom, which is a big round mushroom ball shape. But it just, we found it wasn't popping as good as the other stuff, and we just didn't want to sell it with a bunch of, they call them old maids, what's left behind in a bowl of popcorn.
Right, yeah.
And there were a lot of old maids with the caramel crisp, so we won't bother. We'll stick to the two that worked and run with those. So.
This is all pesticide-free. It's non-GMO.
Yeah, all the popcorn that we grow is non-GMO. It's insecticide-free. We don't spray it for insects, but we did spray with a pre-emergent herbicide before the seed had germinated.
Do you run into trouble with the raccoons? Are they as relentless with popcorn?
No, actually, we haven't really had. We've grown sweet corn in the past, and yeah, we've had our issues with them. But
yeah.
But no, we've never really had any damage. No, I'd say the worst might have been like bird damage, but.
Yeah, and surprisingly, turkeys.
Oh,
yeah, we've had to replant hard corn because of turkeys before, and some of the popcorn in there, it's just in the very beginning when it first comes up, and it's just sort of that, when it's spiking, it's in that first, second leaf stage.
Well, the kernel is softer then.
Exactly, and the turkeys come out from the fence bottom, and they literally pluck it plant by plant, row by row, just to get the kernel, and they leave the little plant laying there, and yeah, it's frustrating.
And where do people buy it? They buy it here from you?
Yeah, they can buy it directly here on the farm. The Agrarian Bistro and Market in Bloomfield was one of our first outlets that was really supportive and stuff, and they're going to carry it at their new location. County Farm Center in town's been great. Cannery Row in Bloomfield's going to carry it too, and the new local store. And then if you're traveling the Trent Hills area or live north of Trenton, the Village Pantry in Warkworth carries as well.
Okay. So with the cattle, you mentioned you got out of the dairy cattle, the milk quota went.
Yeah.
And the cows on the blog are some kind of various blends of beef with a little dash of Holstein.
Yeah, I like to say we go for hybrid vigor around here. Our first two cows we bought, Olive and Opal, and they're still over there. They're 9 years old this year, and they'll live out their days here. They're pets. But Olive is a Holstein Angus cross, and Opal is a Holstein Hereford cross. So we lucked out for the longest time not having to get our own bull because, you know, someone would need to have their bull housed for the winter and wouldn't
sure.
have a barn. So
we would take advantage of his good nature.
We'd offer room and board in exchange for services, and then we ended up buying Hamish two years ago.
Yeah.
And Hamish is our white Galway bull, and he's something else. He's short.
He's a bit of a shrimp compared to the ladies.
Yeah, he's very shrimpy compared to our girls, but we've got 10 calves on the ground, and he seems to have figured out how to...
doing his thing then.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you sell the beef locally?
Yes, we do. We sell it here on the farm out of our freezer, and then we also have several repeat customers that buy quarters and halves off of us. Yeah.
Yeah, you take it to Cole Brothers?
Yeah, Cole Brothers Meats, yeah. And that's what I said to Scott. The herd is nice, and it's a closed herd, and the cows only have to go about 5 kilometers up the road, so you can't get much better traceability than that.
It's so much better for them, too,
A lot of the times, too, they don't even, you know, if we can get them up there the morning of, they're on the trailer, off the trailer, and the deed is done, and there's no stress.
Yeah.
They're not in some strange place overnight in a holding pen, and
yeah.
So it's just, it's good for everybody.
Well, what's next for Sunnydale?
Don't know.
There's always something, looking into new things. We're gonna continue with the popcorn and the sunflowers, but lately talk's kind of been turning towards maybe some nut trees.
Oh.
Maybe some hazelnuts for retirement and see what happens there. And yeah, we don't want to get too much on our plates. We both work, I mentioned earlier that, you know, it's hard to keep a farm running on its own. It'll pay the bills, but it doesn't pay any of the extra, you know, if a tractor breaks down, or you want to put in a seed cleaner, or you want to try to diversify, you've got to have funds from somewhere
else. All the capital.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
well, our off-farm jobs, they basically allowed us to be able to expand or do what we're doing now because of that. But if we were to rely on the farm, there's no way There's no, absolutely no way that you could do it.
It's just not. Yeah, so I teach, and Scott works at the cement plant, and we farm. And it's very important to us that Marley, if she decides to stay here and do her thing on the farm, that would be great. But I'd just love to be able to have her do it debt-free and not have to have, you know, because... Yeah, you know, any of the farms in the county, I'm sure, have found themselves in the same predicament at some point in their history. There's been mortgages and remortgages, and it's just sort of an ongoing cycle. So if we can try to ride it out and make smart choices and leave it in a better place than we found it, then that's what
perfect.
We hope for.
That's
yeah.
ideal.
Yeah.
Well, I've really enjoyed reading your blog. It's very well written, and your photographs are great. It's a real primer for anyone that has an interest in farming, but they don't know anything about it. And there are so many people coming to the county now, and they're curious about where their food comes from and how it's produced, but they don't have the background to understand it from a farmer's mouth sometimes, and you're the intermediary because you had to learn it yourself.
Well, exactly, and that's sort of the approach I take with it. I'm a military brat that didn't know anything about farming, and I still don't claim to know a whole heck of a lot. I just keep my head above and ride the
wave. Well, you're observant. You're very observant.
Yes, thanks. I enjoy writing it. It's hard to sit down and write regularly, but I try to at least put on something once a month and try to keep it really farm focused. You know, I'm going to branch into recipes and all of the crafts and things like that. It's about the farm and what we do here. And you know, there's this real movement right now that's sort of got undercurrents with sort of us, you know, the middle 40s and a little bit younger, to advocate for farmers and be advocates, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of, this is what happens on our farm. You hear everything about big business and all of these other companies and stuff, and that's the voice for agriculture right now. But no, we're still here plowing the dirt, you know, making supper for my own family with the food that we grow here, and, you know, just to get that information out there is...
I think it's really important. It's kind of the goal with this radio segment, too, is to try and give a voice to all the different farmers, like the older-style conventional farmers and the newer, less conventional types. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with me, and I really wish you all the best with this year's harvest.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for talking with us.
So that's Down on the Farm for this week. I'm Lynn Weber, and today I was speaking with Jocelyn Buggy and Scott Wright of Sunnydale Farms in Wapoose. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next Thursday on the County Grapevine.